Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Let's take our Bibles, Luke 16, stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I want to read a few familiar verses in your hearing this morning and give you a little thought out of here with the help of the Lord on this thought, the other side of eternity. The other side of eternity. The Bible said in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now, Father, I love you. I pray over the next few minutes, Lord, that you'd help us this morning. God, I sure need your help, and I pray, God, that you would bring back to my remembrance, Lord, the things that we've studied. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to my remembrance, Father, your scripture this morning. God, I pray more than anything, God, that you would help me to lift you up. Father, you said in your word, if I be lifted up, referring to Jesus, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And I pray, God, that you would help me, God, to lift you up today. God, you know the needs of this service, Father. You know who is sitting here that's saved. You know who is sitting here that is not saved or not sure that they're saved. And God, I pray, Lord, that through your word, Father, that you'd speak to them. God, you know the needs of our church, and I pray, God, that you'd meet them. Help Brother Heath with the kids out in youth church this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. This passage of Scripture that I've read to you, if you've been in church any time at all, you've heard this passage of Scripture read. You've heard preaching out of this passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, today I start my 15th year as the pastor of, or the 16th year as a pastor of Amazing Grace. I just finished 15 years here at Amazing Grace. It was 15 years ago yesterday that God allowed me to become the pastor here at our church. Matter of fact, I'll probably say more about that tonight and what all God has done for us, and I stand amazed at what He's done for us over the past 15 years. Matter of fact, it was 15 years ago that just 21 people voted me in as pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, and the closing financial statement of that July of 2006, Brother Robert, we closed with less than $6,000 in the bank. And was wondering how in the world the doors of the church was going to stay open. So God, we can say, has really been good to us over the past 15 years. And in that 15 years, there's been numerous times that I've walked to this pulpit and read this passage of Scripture. I've dealt with several different things out of it, but I've never really dealt with it the way that I want to look at it this morning. I want to look at the other side of eternity. The other side of eternity. You see, each and every one of us that is sitting here this morning is headed to the other side of eternity one day. Our life here will end one day. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If we don't go by the way of the grave, then there's no doubt that the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds. He'll come back in what is known as the rapture of the church. We all will face the other side of eternity one day. I want to ask you this question this morning. What will the other side of eternity look like for you? What will the other side of eternity look like for me? Whenever we come to that place where we face the other side of eternity. Early this morning before service started, a few of the men met with me, and we had prayer this morning in my office that God would meet the needs of our church, and that God would help us today and give us a good day. Brother Aaron was one of those men, which he's out in the youth church. But Brother Aaron has served as a paramedic in our county for numerous years. And Brother Aaron and I was talking, and we was talking about a wreck that we was on last night, and we was talking about different things. And we made this statement. We've saw a lot of people die in our career. And can I say this to you tonight? I don't know, or this morning, but I don't know how many people that I've stood over at a vehicle and watched them, Brother Lloyd, you've done the same thing, and watched them take their last breath and go to the other side of eternity. You know what? That individual, whenever they left their house that day, probably was not looking at facing the other side of eternity. If they had an agenda planned out for that day, and you know me, if you've been here any time at all, I'm a planner. If you go to my office right now and look on my desk, there's next week, and it's already wrote out the things that I've got to do. But you know what? Nowhere on that agenda for next week, Brother Bailey, that I have wrote down that I'm going to die. I don't have that nowhere on there, because I'm not planning on dying this week. I really, Nacho Libre said it this way, my life is really good. I'm not interested in dying today. I'll say this, I'm not afraid to die, but I am afraid of the way I will die. If I've got to die, and I will one day, I sure don't want to suffer. I'm just being, you say, well, preacher, you ought not be that way. Well, if you want to suffer, there's some rooms over at Northern that's padded, and we'll take you over. I'm not interested in suffering when I die. There's been a very few times in my life that I thought that I was going to die. And one of those was in 2016 in Low Gap. Many of you know that story when we was in a house fire and it flashed on us. I really thought my life ended that day. Brother Tim, when we rolled out that window, I looked behind me and Brian Lowe was coming out of it. Literally, his gear was on fire. Everything was blurred. The air was hot that I was breathing. And I thought, this is it. I thought, Brother Jeff, I thought my life is over. And whenever I got my mask took off, everything was clear, praise God. My mask was just distorted. But I am not interested in dying today. But if I do die today, there is another side of eternity. There is another side of eternity. I thought about this. We can make changes to our life. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. We can make changes, Brother Randy, to our life right now. We can make changes. You say, what do you mean about that? We can better ourselves or we can make ourselves worse. It's up to us the changes that we make. But there's two men that I've read about today that can now make no changes to their life. Their change making is now over with. Why? Because they are on the other side of eternity. They're on the other side. They're not on this side no more. They're on the other side. I would say this to you, and I'll give you this little thought. We'll go home. Whenever it comes to reading our Bible and studying our Bible, there must be an element of faith. There must be an element of faith that many people, and I've used this illustration before, but many people says, well, preacher, I have no faith. Well, can I say something to you? Each and every person sitting in here exercised faith already today. You say, well, preacher, how did I exercise faith? Some of you has exercised it more than others. You say, how do you get that? Some of y'all put a key in a Chevrolet today and believed that it would crank, and you exercised a lot of faith. Some of us are blessed by God and drive forwards, and we didn't have to exercise as much faith. But when you turn that key, or in today's age, you touch that button, or in today's age, you picked your phone up, or you looked on your smartwatch, and you hit the button that started your vehicle, the reason you done that is because you believed it would start. When you walked in here today, I didn't see one person get down on their hands and knees and look at the pew and inspect the pew to make sure the braces was right. There's a few of these you probably don't want to do that to. You probably wouldn't be sitting on them this morning. But make sure the bracing was right. You know what you did? You walked in and you sat down. Why? Because you believed that pew would hold you up. By faith, you trusted that. I want to ask you a question today. There's some of you in here that's possibly this old, Miss Christie. But did anybody ever meet George Washington? I'm sorry. Did anybody ever? I've never met him, but you know what? I believe he lived. Why? Because history tells us that. History tells us that. You know what? I never met Ronald Reagan. I never met Ronald Reagan. But I believe he was a president because history tells us that. I've never met Joe Biden, but I believe he's the president because of what we see and because of what we hear. And can I say something to you today? When it comes to this book right here, there has to be an element of faith. There has to be an element of faith. Heaven and hell, the other side of eternity. Number one this morning, I'll move quickly. Number one this morning, there's the description of two men. There's two completely different people in this text this morning. There is a wealthy man and there is a weary man. Let's think about the wealthy man for just a minute. This wealthy man no doubt had financial goals. And can I say something to you today? There's nothing wrong with having financial goals. There's nothing in the world wrong. We have financial goals at our church. We're praying fervently. And this week I'm going to be back in touch with a contractor. And we're praying fervently about the day coming when we build a new auditorium. But in order to do that, you know what? We've got to have our finances in order. There's nothing wrong. You need to plan financially in case a storm comes in your life. There's nothing wrong with having financial goals, but when financial goals have you, then there's something wrong with it. This man in his life, he did not go to hell because of his finances. That's not the reason he went to hell. He went to hell because he rejected Christ. But when we think about this wealthy man, there was his financial goals. You see, he had an allegiance to money, evidently. Think about this. There was his fine garment. What did the Bible say? It talked about his purple clothing. And whenever you study manners and customs out, you'll find out that this was a picture of his position, but it was also a picture of his pride and what he had. There was his garment. You know what? Pride has caused a lot of people to go on the wrong side of the other side of eternity. Pride. Simply pride. It's not Ian Bounds. There's an author that I'm reading after right now that's wrote a book on humiliation. And man, I wish I could remember his name. But anyway, he's wrote a book on humiliation back in the 1800s. And man, it is tremendous about how we need to stay humble. You know, pride causes a lot of people. Matter of fact, the Bible said this, pride goeth before destruction. And we can tell by his lifestyle, he was a prideful man. I thought about this, his flaunting greed. You said, preacher, why don't you say that? Well, the Bible said this when we're very first introduced to him. And fared sumptuously every day. That word sumptuously simply means splendidly or of great magnificence. In other words, he flaunted what he had. In other words, the only thing that he was worried about was having plenty, having a position, having pleasure, and everybody else looking to him for what he had. Can I say it this way? On this side of eternity, he had everything. I not only see the wealthy man, but I see a weary man this morning. When we come to the next man that we're introduced to in this, I see his place. He was laid at a gate. I see his plight. He was full of sores. I see his poverty. He desired to be fed with the crumbs. The crumbs, the very crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He could not even crawl to where he was at. Somebody came along, felt sorry for him, and carried him to where he was at. You said, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Here's the reason why the Bible said he was laid there. Can I say this? There's definitely a huge contrast in these two men this morning. Think about this. There's the description of two men. These two men, one lived a very wealthy life, one had nothing. Having nothing sends, does not, listen to me, having nothing does not send you to heaven, and having something does not send you to hell. What sends you to heaven is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What sends you to hell is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere along the way, there is no doubt that this rich man, this wealthy man, has had somebody tell him about the Lord. You say, "Why do you think that, Brother Jonathan? Why do you think that he's got a knowledge of the Word of God?" Because as we continue reading, he talks about Abraham's bosom. He talks about Moses and the prophets. Somebody has told him about the Lord, but he chose in his own will and in his own power and in his own thinking to reject a holy God. This question has been asked to me many times. Why would a God that is so loving send someone to hell? Can I say something to you this morning? A God that is so loving will not send you to hell. You choose yourself to reject Him, and in doing that, you send your own self to hell. I see this, the description of two men, but I want you to see this. There's the delight of the delivered man. There's the delight of the delivered man. Whenever we begin to read and whenever we begin to think about this passage, Lazarus has been laid at the rich man's gate, and Lazarus is living in sorrow. He's living in a heartache. He's living in struggles of his life. I know nothing about laying at somebody's gate begging them for crumbs. I know nothing about that today. I've never been there. I know nothing about going to the cabinet and there not being food in the cabinet. And if there ever was a time that there wasn't food in the cabinet, you know what I done? I got in a nice vehicle. I drove to the Beulah Walmarts and I got me something to eat and I brought it back home. I know nothing about his lifestyle prior to eternity. But can I say something? Now that he is dead and on the other side of eternity, boy, the table sure does turn. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, think about this. He's got a newfound company now. Somebody brings him by and dumps him off. No doubt people walk by and talked about him just like you and I would, or you and I do. Come on now, help me. Or you and I do when we profile people and look down our nose at them. And the only reason we're not in the same shape is because of the grace of God, church. It's because God has blessed us. Well, bless God, they could go get a job, and they could do this, and they could do that, and they could do this. Oh, you know what? You might be right on some of that stuff. You might be right on some of that stuff, but at the end of the day, you know what they are? They are a soul for which Christ died for, and it's up to you and I to share the glorious gospel. This man did not have that company. This man did not have people walking by and feeding him. This man was a public nuisance on this side of eternity, but on the other side of eternity, now his life is ended. Can I say this? He has a new found company. Can I just say it this way? Now he is sitting in the very presence of our Lord and Savior. Now he is in the presence of God. Now he is in the presence of the angels of God. He has a new found company now that he's on the other side of eternity. Can I say this? He's got a new found comfort now that he's on the other side of eternity. There's nobody laying him at a gate, for he is walking by the crystal river of life and standing by the throne of God. Why? Because he has a new found comfort. He has a new seat. He has a new supply. The God of glory is now providing everything that he needed. I want to say this to you, and I'll move to my last point and we'll go home. But I want to say this to you. That is the other side of eternity that I'm interested in. Can I just say it this way? That is, Miss Dawn, the other side of eternity that I will enter into one day. You say, how can you say that and know that for sure? Because there was a day that I was lost, and God showed me that I was lost. And there was a day as a 16-year-old young man, that I bowed my head and asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save me. And he said in his word, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to say to you this morning, the other side of eternity, I'm not interested in going there today or tomorrow, but if I do, don't you weep for me, honey. I'm a whole lot better off than I've ever been on the other side of eternity. Why? Because there'll be a delight because I'm a delivered man. Number three, there's the description of two men. There's the delight of a delivered man. But then in closing this morning, there's the desires of a tormented man. The desires of a tormented man. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. I looked that word torment up. And here's what it means: extreme pain, anguish, the uttermost degree of misery, either of body or mind. Either of body or mind. I thought about this morning. There's five senses. We can see, hear, smell, taste, and feel. And when you read this, the only thing that's not referred to is smelling. And if he had four of the five, I personally think he's got the fifth one also. He had his physical mind, the desires of a tormented man. He had his mind. That word torment, again, here's what it means. It means extreme pain, anguish, the uttermost degree of misery, either of body or of mind. This is my personal opinion. My mind sometimes is a worse pain than my body is. And my body is, back in October, when I had COVID, man, matter of fact, last night late, we had a snake handling service. I got a video to prove it. One of them old serpents was at my house, and I was talking to Brother Matt on the phone, and I stepped over it going outside and didn't see it, and I turned around and thought that was something odd about that, and I turned around and looked, and he was laying on the steps at the screen door. And y'all know my thoughts of the serpent. The Lord cursed it to the ground in Genesis 3, and the only good one's a dead one. So I never missed a lick talking to Brother Matt. I walked right up to my building. I got my shovel, and I came right back down to the house, and that joker went right across the steps and had got over to the grill and disappeared. You say, what'd you do then? I seriously thought about shooting the grill, but I was afraid I'd blow the whole house up. So I called the snake handler, Deacon Pot. I've never heard a Nissan moan the way it did coming out Blevins Store Road. He was scared to death I was going to kill that little old, or big old snake. It's big. And you know what he done? He got there. He took the cover off the grill, and there that old thing laid, and he just got it. And he turned around to me, and I was like, I'll shoot you and it both. That's a deadly weapon, Hoss. And we got done handling the snake and got it in a bag. And we was talking about some things. And we started talking about COVID. And here's what I said. I said, one of the worst things was my mind. I'm telling you, man, my mind, Brother Josh. Daddy was laying in the hospital about to die with it. Mama was in the hospital with it. Brother Wade was in the hospital with it. Brother Randy was in the hospital with it. Miss Dawn was in the hospital with it. The only reason I didn't go to the hospital is because I figured they'd take up an offering. We had some men from a church over there. And my mind, Brother Jeff, I'm going to tell you something. There's times that your mind will bother you more than your body bothers you. Let me tell you what I think about the misery of this man more than anything. I think it was his mind. Oh, we know that he is in physical pain. We know he's in physical pain because he talks about bring a drop of water. But the other side of eternity, the mental anguish, Miss Vicki, that he is in now, presently, the mental anguish that he's in. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Miss Tanya, come start playing softly. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What's the other side of eternity look like for you? Brother Josh, I'm glad that I can say, looks like a delivered man for me. Not the desires of a tormented man. There's no possessions now. There's no positions now. There was no pleasures now. Matter of fact, nowhere in this text do you find him mentioning his finances. Do you find him mentioning his friends? Do you find him mentioning anything about his earthly goods? You do find him mentioning being in pain, and you do find him mentioning his family twice. But you know what the Lord says to him? It's too late. He prayed for his family, but it was too late to pray for him. He was already on the other side of eternity. Did he have everything on this side? Sure. But what did the Bible say? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? What's it going to profit me, Dakota, if I become the richest man, if I become the most famous man? What's it going to profit me in eternity? It's going to profit me nothing. It's going to profit me nothing. It's a tale of two men here. It's a literal story. It's not a parable because there's no parables in the Bible that has a name mentioned in them. It's a literal story. It's the clearest interview with a man in hell that there is in the Bible. Matter of fact, one reason I think that there's so much detail to his torment is because you know what Luke was, don't you? He was a physician. He was a doctor. That's what Luke was before he started following Christ. That's what Luke was. And he pays attention to what he sees as God allows him to get a glimpse into heaven and a glimpse into hell as he writes this to us. Here's what so many have said. Preacher, I've got the rest of my life. How many times have we heard that statement? Preacher, I've got the rest of my life. You know what, preacher? I'm going to get saved, or if you're saved, I'm going to rededicate my life to God, and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live my life for Him one day. But I got the rest of my life. One of my passions to this day is young people. I love young people. I kindly dreaded Thursday to a certain extent. But once we got there, man, we had a ball. Did we not? I mean, Ellie, you don't even remember one of the rides, do you? Yeah, I remember it, preacher. We had it. I love young people. I love investing in young people. I love trying my best to pour my life into young people. Because can I tell you something? If you'll do that, one day your body and soul will be dead and gone. But, and I'm not saying this pridefully, I'm just being, your legacy will live forever. And I love young people. But one thing that I hear from young people all the time is this statement: I've got the rest of my life. So I ask you this question: what is the rest of your life? What is the rest of your life? What is it? Madeline, I can pick on her a little bit. She's fixing to start college here in a couple weeks. Back into college. She's graduated high school now. Got her CNA. And she's getting the rest of her prerequisites done. And wanting to go on to nursing. Be a flight nurse. So if you was to ask her what is the rest of your life, she may would give you her plans. Matter of fact, you can go downstairs into her room and pull out her journals and read through her plans. What is the rest of your life? And hardly nobody knows this at all. She's probably going to get mad because I've said this. But for the past 2 years, she's been writing a book. What is the rest of your life? It's finishing that up and putting it into print. Being able to help other young ladies. What is the rest of your life? Well, it's getting on a helicopter one day and saving somebody's life. But time out. What is the rest of your life? Well, James said it this way. For what is your life? It's a vapor. And it appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. It vanisheth away. I'm 43 years old. I'm an old man in a lot of y'all's eyes. Robert said this last night. He said, "Preacher, it seems like yesterday we standing underneath that big oak tree in East Bend talking about you coming to be our pastor. And here we are 15 years down the road. How many, it seems like yesterday, you was getting your driver's license? Brother Lloyd, probably seems like yesterday. Well, it seems like yesterday that you was over at a milk barn milking a cow. Probably seems like yesterday that all of a sudden something rises up in you like it does some of us others and goes, I think I'm going to be crazy and go running at a house that's on fire instead of running away from it. And you worked your way through as chief of two departments. Then you went on to become a contractor. And now you've come on to become a foreman with a big company. Well, it probably seems like yesterday that you was going by that milk cooler in the milk barn where you just milk cows. Now you got a baby. God's blessed you with a beautiful wife. Time's flying by. What is the rest of our life? I don't know. I hope I come back to church tonight. I hope I do. I really do. I'm not planning on doing anything crazy this evening because I want to come back to church tonight. And I hope tomorrow we shoot promotional videos, Stephanie and I. And tomorrow night, go to training. And Tuesday morning, go to the doctor. And Tuesday afternoon, spend time with our young people. Wednesday, go to the sheriff's office. And Wednesday evening, spend time around the church and preach Wednesday night. And Thursday, do this. And Friday, do that. And Saturday, I hope I do all of that. But I may not. What is your life? The other side of eternity. You better get ready for it. Because we don't know when the end of our life will be. I said this in the beginning. We have a chance now to change things. But on the other side of eternity, we don't.